Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity again. The feet of your table are to be empowered by your love. For you said that the words I speak to you, your spirit and your life. And whosoever drinketh of me and eateth of me have life in him. And whosoever does not have life, we with meekness to be engrafted world that have the capacity to build us up. And I ask you this morning that you make my lips the pen of a ready writer, that your counsel be communicated without any shade and taint. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I want to thank everybody here this morning. And I want to thank the Reverend for the opportunity. Good morning, sir. Good morning. Well, thank you, sir, for the opportunity and the executives and the people around. I believe that Jesus will do something for us this morning. I believe so. So, just like the Reverend said yesterday before we left, he said, if you come expectant, you should come with something in your heart. If you have read through the scripture in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the scripture said that for faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, if faith is that, the question now is, what is hope? For the scripture told us that there are three cardinal things in the kingdom, the three cardinal dimensions that captures all of God's working and his means of working amongst his people. Said faith, hope. So we want to ask, what is hope? Because actually, if hope is taken away from a man, then there is no other reason why you are alive. There is no reason to expect the visitations of God if hope is not intact. Now, when you study the scripture, the basic understanding of what faith is would have shown you that faith is what substantiates what we have seen in God. So once a man has faith, then even though you have not seen the manifestation, what you have is yours. It will only take time for you to manifest, and sometimes it doesn't take time. But the question is, what bridges the gap between the realm of the spirit and the realm of the manifestation? Remember in that same book of Hebrews, he said that faith makes us understand. There is an understanding that faith imparts to us. It's Nigerian media people around. Why not show me that? Oh. He said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Next verse. He said, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, watch. And you with me, if you are with me, say amen. Now the scripture said, through faith we understand. That means when a man truly has faith, it imparts to you an understanding. He said, through faith we understand that the words we are framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen with these our physical eyes, watch over. We are not made of the things which do appear. What is the scripture saying here? He says that this is my handkerchief. I know you will not believe it, but I choose to believe Bible more than what you believe. The scripture is saying this handkerchief that appear, we can see with our eyes, that the reality behind the creation of handkerchief is not seen with the physical eye. Can you understand this scripture now? So the scripture is saying, in case you don't understand this thing I'm saying, it means you don't have faith. That faith brings to a man a certain understanding, and that basic understanding is this, that everything that ever appeared on the face of the earth is made and constructed, is framed from the invisible realm. It is those invisible realms that have the capacity to affect the things you see here. So, if there is any means, are you with me? If you have to say amen. If there is any means that we can travel to that place where the reality of the things that we see there is domiciled, then we will be able to
orchestrate manifestation here. So it doesn't matter whether I'm seeing handkerchief or not. Are you seeing it? The scripture says that the things which do appear are not made from things we see with our eyes. So those things that appear must have been real somewhere, because after some time it became real here. Is it not true? I can touch my handkerchief. You can touch your clothes. But the scripture is saying there was a time that thing we can touch here was not real in this physical realm. But that it's not real here doesn't mean it is not real somewhere. So that reality that informs manifestation here, if we can touch that reality, anytime you touch any reality there, it is called faith. Are you seeing it? Can you understand faith now? If you can understand this thing now, say amen. So this is it. Even if I have not seen the manifestation of this my handkerchief, remember the scripture said that it is which do appear and not made from things that we have seen. If I can touch this handkerchief in the unseen realm, even though my sister have not seen it, it is called faith. But there is a link between what I have touched in the spirit and the manifestation in the natural. Let me give you an example. Let's assume that we sunk a borehole here. Can you see me? Let's assume we sunk a borehole here. And it's inside the house. But the people that need the water are outside. Are you with me now? So, how do we connect the water we have sunk here and to the people that need it outside? What do you think we need? We need pipe, right? God bless you. That pipe that connects with the unseen realm and brings it out to the seen realm is what is called hope. Another word that many of you use is called expectation. So Reverend asked me yesterday, he said, what is your expectation? That means he's telling you to connect your pipe from the realm of the seen to the realm of the unseen. So that one day we come and God from his realm, we open a tap. Once he opens a tap of supernatural supply, the men that have connected their pipe will begin to receive the supply of the spirit. Remember, the reality and the realm of God is spiritual. This scripture spoke in the book of John chapter 4. He said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him will do so. Where? In spirit and in truth. It is a challenge. I know an average person doesn't know how much of a challenge it is that God is a spirit. The reason why it's a challenge is because we are in the natural. And an average person will never understand anything and level on it until it is transferred from the realm of the unseen here. It is only what we see that we believe. Remember, in this kingdom we believe so that we see. But a natural man will want to see before he believes. If I tell you now, just like Elijah, is he Elijah or Elisha? He said, God said the Lord by this time tomorrow that peace will happen. How much do you have in your account now? I want to use it as an example. I don't mean but it said 1,000. Let's assume you are my brother and you have 1,000. And then the man of God appears and says, God says the Lord, by this time tomorrow you will have 100 million. Now if he said wait. Now, if he said 10,000, if I said 10,000, somehow you will believe. That thing you believe is not belief. You just did calculation with your mind. And what people call faith is what their mind can accommodate. So as long as their mind cannot accommodate it, they lack the capacity to label on the substance that is in the realm of the spirit. But if faith begins to work, it will shift you beyond your mental assent. What people call faith, why am I teaching of faith? Jesus. This is not what I want to say, but let me make this background. It seems as if somebody needs this to receive. Because without faith, you can't receive anything from God. It's not possible. You can't even please God. The scripture says it is impossible. Impossible means that it is not possible. It is impossible. It doesn't matter whether what you do. If you clap without faith, you can't please God. The reason is because God is a spirit. And it will take a man having faith to relate with spiritual things and spiritual beings. So God is a spiritual being. And everything he is doing has to be spiritual. Are you seeing it? So before it manifested, it has to be spiritual and tangible. Only men that have touched it in our realm will come as that become me. So God tells this, my brother, 100 million out of 1,000, even me. I'm not to pray in tongues for long for my faith to come up to that level. If you read well in your exam and God spoke to you and said you will have a distinction, it's easy to believe. What is hard to believe is when you know you didn't read anything. And God did not tell you you will pass, he told you you will have distinction. It is beyond your mind. In this case, anything that made you believe that thing is faith. Because it is beyond the fact that you have seen. If you can see it, watch, let me show you something. You see here? If there is a possibility in this natural realm that seems as if he lends himself to the fact that what we said is possible and can manifest, then it is no more faith. Are you seeing it? If I come and tell you, I know ladies have more money than guys, they have more money. If I ask this my sister, she might have all to take care. So, if I come and tell you that after this service, that God will increase you to 50k and you have 10k, you say, well, it's possible. After all, I called my mother on Monday and called my uncle and called that my auntie. The thing is that they have not sent the money. But when that preacher is saying it, I believe that what he's saying is that God will now touch their heart. So, when that kind of person leaves this my meeting now, he'll be saying that God touch the heart of my mother so that that thing you said in the service will happen. I know you think that is faith, that is not yet faith. Because it can still be captured with your mental capacity. Faith has to push you beyond. The thing that some of the time you have even prayed prayer about it, you have even fasted. For you to receive things from God that is already a reality. I know, see, I'm a prayer person. God has helped me this morning prayer. It doesn't just take prayer. In fact, the kind of prayer it takes to receive things from the Spirit is the prayer of faith. So Jesus came to his disciples and they asked them, why can we not cast out this devil? And Jesus told them, this kind cannot come out except by prayer and fasting. But before he said that, he said, O ye of what? O ye of little faith, meaning that their challenge there, the fundamental challenge. If any man fails to receive things of God and cause something to manifest from the realm of the Spirit to hear, his deficiency is a word, my brother. His deficiency is faith. Meanwhile, Jesus is trying to tell them when he said this kind cannot come, cannot happen except by fasting and prayer. What he meant is that the dimension of faith it takes to cause this kind of manifestation cannot be generated except we give ourselves to what? Prayer and fasting. So, whenever, have you noticed that there is a way, I don't know, some of us, we pray in tongues a lot. And our first challenge is that we seem as if I don't know what to do, and I'm praying in tongues for 6 hours. By the time I came out from that prayer session, my faith increased. That is why the scripture says, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, what? Praying in the Spirit. And sometimes I will come, they share the word of God, or I read the scripture. And you come and you don't know what to do about a matter, and the preacher spoke under the anointing of the Spirit, and your faith went up. And you face the same thing and God had it. That means there is something about the preaching and prayer and fasting that have the capacity to increase your faith to the measure that it takes to cause the change. If faith is what lays hold of the substance, then what is hope? Hope is what connects the substance from the realm of the Spirit to the realm of the manifestation. So I want to ask you now, if a man has faith and he doesn't have hope, then how will God manifest in your life? Where will he manifest? So you ask people to pray, they say, God bless me, or God bless me. How? Where? When? Sometimes you need to give him time, tell him between now and tomorrow, let this happen. I used to tell people that, so that if it happens, you will know which prayer, when did you pray this prayer that manifested? You know why I'm saying this? Some of us, we pray for people a lot. And those people, many people also pray for them. So probably in one case, up to 50 people, you tell this person, pray for me, or tell this person, pray for me, or as 50 people are praying for you, you don't even know. not the one that walked. So most times I will tell the person, just check, between today and tomorrow, something will happen. A young man met me, and he said that his uncle has been kidnapped. Are you with me? If you are with me, say amen.
Amen.
He said his uncle, okay. He said his uncle has been kidnapped. That we should pray, that the mother sent this man. And now pray, and told the young man that in the next 6 hours, that the man will be released. He continued praying. It was not up to 24 hours to happen. Now, I want to say something. Beyond the thing that happened, I want to use it as a teaching now, because the teaching is here. If I had not given time to that manifestation, the young man would probably have thought that there are many people that is involved in the matter. So if he happened 7 days later, he would have said this, he would be confused. But I told him more past 6 hours. And the problem with saying that is that you implicate yourself. Because you will be a false prophet in God did not manifest in 36 hours. Sometimes I've said it, and I'll not realize what I said. I will not go back and say, oh God, I don't implicate myself. I'll say, God, save me. Save your servant, oh God. Save your servant from shame. So sometimes after declaration like this, we go back and continue praying for the people we declare over, so that what we say will be confirmed. Because there are things we say that happen instantly, and others is in the process, and others need a little more push so that it will manifest. I want you to pray for 2 minutes. That's the reason why I did this introduction. Again, just as the Reverend told us yesterday, and present before God your expectation. Can we pray? Because the expectation that we have in our hand is the blueprint of faith. It is the fire, according to my brother, that connects the realm of the supernatural to the realm of the natural, causing a flow of resources, causing a flow of possibility. What is your expectation? Talk to God. I expect you to pray now, whether in tongues or in understanding, it doesn't matter. Just pray to God now. Pray to God. Connect. It doesn't matter how now, how impossible. It doesn't matter how far, how long it has lasted. If only you will believe. Where is your faith? Where is your expectation this morning? Don't come before God without an expectation. The power of God will be made manifest. His glory will be shown. And only men that have hope, only men that expect things of God will be able to lay hold on the manifestation of the things that they see. The scripture said in the book of Luke, he said, blessed is he that believeth, for there shall be a performance of the same thing that he has believed. Blessed is he that believeth. Blessed is he that believeth, for there shall be a performance. I believe God that there shall be a performance of the things that we believe of God. I believe God there shall be a performance of the prayers that we have made. I believe God there shall be a performance of the expectations of our heart. I believe there shall be a performance of the issues that have lived up in our life. I believe there will be an intervention in our family. I believe God there will be an intervention in our health, in our finances, in our walk with God. There will be a performance. The scripture said, blessed is he. Are you a blessed man today? Then you have to extend your faith. You have to show God the path that he will follow, so that his great might and power will be manifest in our midst. The scripture said, blessed is he. Blessed is he. I believe I'm in the midst of blessed ones. The ones that have been faith enough to trust in God this morning and tell him, oh God, you have to do something. moving in our midst already. The angels of the Lord are being released to respond to your request. The angels of the Lord are released. The ministry speaks. Angels of power. Royal angels.
I'm seeing three things. This is not what I plan. I see a young man that
has been making a lot of effort in his life, but Satan has put a lot of limitations. There is a gate that the young man cannot pass through. And I give that young man this scripture. The Bible said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. The problem with this declaration is this, that the man that has held that gate, the gatekeepers of that darkness, they said, who is the King of Glory that we should open up for him? The scripture now says, the Lord strong and mighty. I prophesy over that young man and every other person that Satan has limited, that gates are standing before you and the advancement into your destiny. And I say, the Lord strong and mighty. He is the King of Glory. The Lord mighty in battle, he is the King of Glory. And as I speak, the warrior angels are being released to walk on your behalf and cast down the pillars and cut asunder the powers of iron and set at liberty the lesser bound in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Jesus is the pattern man. You know what is the pattern man?
All you need to do is to ask, what will Jesus do? How many of you have that sort of question? In case you don't know what to do, what will Jesus do in this case? And my sister, let's assume I came now and I slap you. What? Huh? What will you do back to me? I don't want to imagine. Let's leave what you will do and what I will do. Huh? Let's ask, what will Jesus do now? You know what will Jesus will do? He will tell you, turn your other cheek. Amen. One of my friends came and told me he's working in one of the government agencies. A contract came out and he had the opportunity of padding. You know, there's what, how many of you know what is padding? You can pad a contract. If it's supposed to cost like 10,000, you will pad it and make it 15,000. You say based on transport increase and inflation and all those things, you know, at 5,000. That is called padding. So the guy said, he checked it and if his office correct, he would have made almost 20 million. So, and somebody explained to him and said, that, in fact, Satan came and explained to him, that pledge you made in the church. Imagine if you carry 2 million now and go and give in the church. That the man of God will pray for you. There is nothing you do that is wrong after this prayer. So, he has convinced himself with certain scriptures. I hope you know that you can find one or two scriptures to support your evil behavior. So when he checked, after some time, what man concluded the matter is that he asked, what would Jesus do? Anyway, in this particular case, what he asked actually is, because he's my friend, he said, if a dude is here now, what will he do? Because he assumes that I'm somebody that is living up to a certain standard. So he said, what will you do? As soon as he said it, the answer became clear. If you ever ask all the time, what will Jesus do in this matter? You will not be confused on how to live your Christian life. It will become very easy. Many of the things that look as if it's tough decision, it's not tough decision. You have not examined it in the mirror, in the light of what Jesus would have done. The reason why I'm saying this is that beyond the fact that Jesus himself is our Lord and Savior, he's also the perfect man. In other words, he lived in such a way that we are expected to live. Are you with me? So Jesus lived so that when we appear on earth, we begin to live the way we live. That is why the scripture says, it is not enough for Jesus to come and teach. The scripture says, of all Jesus began both to do and to what? Teach. As a matter of fact, there is certain dimensions of teaching that can only be communicated by a lifestyle. In these days that everybody is talking and everybody is trying to say something, it is important that our talk is backed up with character, is backed up with a lifestyle that have the capacity to carry our talk. Because there are days we don't know that people have been looking at you for long. A young man was looking for wife. And you will not know, because if I ask the young man, won't you be married? He will say, this marriage thing, now we can't find anybody. I can't find anybody anywhere for this thing. What I did not know, are you with me? What I did not know is that the young man is carefully standing. Until one day he came and told me, I saw one day. In that former meeting, I saw her. In the other meeting, I saw her. I said, I thought you are worshiping God, you close your eyes. He now said that I used to notice her character, the way she. Meanwhile, that lady, if you tell her, she will not know that there is something like that that is even happening. Until one day, somebody will now appear and tell you that I have been watching you for the last 2 years. It has happened to me many times. People have met me and said, I've been watching you for long, though, because there are many fake people around. Let's know whether your home is fake. And we have seen that after 5 years, after 3 years, after 1 year, after 6 months, that what you are doing and saying is consistent with your lifestyle. Are you with me? Then please say amen. Amen. Now the scripture says, until the day, give me my scripture. Verse 2. until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he had chosen himself alive after his passion. Of course, this is a fundamental requirement. If a man will be equipped to represent Jesus, you must have seen Jesus alive. They see him alive, don't necessarily mean that an apparition will be manifest. It is not necessarily an apparition. It is that you have had a revelation of Jesus that is steep on the phenomenon of resurrection. You see, the centrality of the Christian faith is the cross of Jesus Christ. And the fundamental thing that the cross of Jesus achieved, that made it the most powerful thing in the whole universe of God, is that it brought a regime, a possibility of resurrection. That was why Paul was speaking in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said, if the dead rise not, what is the implication, my brother? If the dead rise not, what is the implication? He said, our faith is in vain. We have believed rubbish. We are, of all men, the most miserable. If all we labor for is in this world, that our faith, the dead rise not, we are, of all men, the most miserable. He then means that the most important thing is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And the instrument that was able to administer that possibility is the cross. That means the cross is the centrality of the gospel. If you remove the cross of Jesus, it is not possible for us to achieve many things. Amen. Amen. So the scripture is saying here that Jesus began to show himself alive. That means if it is true that your faith will be steeped on things, will be founded on things that cannot be taken away from you, then you must have been able to see Jesus alive. It will be beyond the story that you are told. It is good that the preachers preach, but as pastors of God, you must have to know God for yourself. Is it not true? So that the day will come, even if something happens and you are not able to reach your reverend or your priest or your teachers or the elders speaking, you will be able to find something to do about it. If you are with me, say amen.
Amen.
Let your amen be louder. Amen.
Amen.
For the space of 40 days, he began to teach them some things. The things pertaining to the kingdom. I don't know, I believe maybe there might be lecturers here. Imagine somebody that is a lecturer and then they contested for the president of Nigeria. And then you won the election. After winning the election, we are looking for people to become part of your administration, your cabinet. And the only people that you can remember that is competent and the men that used to work with you before when you were elected, is it not true? If you want, if you are called into an office, where will you select your administration from? Is it not people that you know before? It's your clique of friends and relationships. So that's what Jesus intended to do. As of this time now, he has resurrected, but he has not ascended the seat of the Christ yet. So he knew that by the time he ascended that seat, he will release the Holy Ghost. And remember what the scripture said in the book of Psalms chapter 110. He said that he will send forth the rod of his strength out of Zion. And what is the mandate of the rod of his strength? The mandate is rule thou in the midst of your enemies. That means the mandate of the Holy Ghost is administration. He came to enforce the things that is captured in the purposes of God. And that administration is within the confines of the person of the Christ. So when Jesus raised, was risen from the dead, he needed men to participate in his administration. And when that administration comes, there is a power that enables the possibility of administration. In case you are not understanding this thing I'm saying, you don't need power. Anybody that is not understanding what I'm saying, you don't need power until you understand this. Because even Jesus, after he has stayed for 3.5 years with his disciples, and he has won election, he refused to go for the coronation service Because there is a lecture missing. And you know that if he doesn't make up that lecture, if he doesn't make up that lecture, sending the Holy Ghost, the rod of strength, once the Holy Ghost comes, you can rule. You with me? Was sending the rod for a man to rule, and he doesn't know the reason, doesn't know the purpose, doesn't know why, he doesn't know how, is a waste of resources. So we have seen men that have received a lot of enablement and equipment from God, and they became dormant because they don't know what to do with it. Many of them didn't even know what they received. So Jesus needed to teach them things pertaining to the kingdom. It is in that teaching. His job is to bring them up to date with what God is doing that requires an enablement. Because an enablement is coming, as he promised them in the book of Ephesians 8. Let's go down. I don't have time. To whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Next verse.
Next verse.
And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for what? He said they should wait. I want to ask you, my sister, have you tried to wait? See, you know, the problem with certain of the things we do as Christians is that we assume too much. Many of us assume that we have actually waited, but we have not. Many of us assume we have obeyed Jesus on this command, but we have not. And the proof, the resultant effect of our disobedience is manifest in our life. Because without obedience, there can be no power. There can be no authority. And you have read the scripture in the book of Philippians chapter 2. The scripture said that Jesus suffered all things and he was obedient. And his obedience was unto death. The scripture said even the death of the cross. Now, what is the consequence of abiding to that death of obedience? He now said that God has exalted him and given him a name that is what? Above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, what we have? We like the fact that every knee bowed, but we don't like the fact that he was obedient. And his measure of obedience was even to death. Not normal death, not by gunshot, but death on the cross. That's the greatest shame that a man can bear. The thing about the cross is beyond the pain, it's also about the shame. So many times when we talk about the cross, the only thing we talk about is the pain. We move sometimes, look away from the pain. Many men can bear pain, but they can't bear shame. There are men that can bear pain, but they can't bear shame. But Jesus bore the worst shame on this earth. And then the scripture said, it's not even a name that is above every other name. Wait, watch what the scripture said. It said, you should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Which said he have heard of me. He said, for John truly baptized with water. But he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. I believe many of you are baptized with water. But there is another one, the Holy Ghost and power. Now this one is good. This one is also good. This one is better after. For when they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Do you know what is happening there? Jesus is teaching them things pertaining to the kingdom, and when he was through, this man is still asking them about the thing that is natural, because as far as they are concerned, the kingdom of God is captured in the thing that is natural. A woman met me many years ago while I was in charge of a congregation. And the way I was preaching, the woman looked at me and said, this way you are preaching, nobody will come to your church. Because I was not saying things that can make people like me. I was not saying things that will fill your pockets fast. How many of you are from this town? You are from this town. You don't need to be. You are from this town. No wonder I'm pointing you. You are my brother now. See, me, I'm from this town. So
I think I have, and I'm still here. I've been alive in this town for more than 30 years. So I think I have, I've not lived more than others, but I've lived long enough to have an opinion about this town and the people of this town. Is it not? One of the things that is given to this town is, no matter what you preach and do, if it doesn't find a way of making this region to increase, making the pocket to increase, but you don't waste time. So when you pray, they will ask you how our prayer been translated to money. When you fast, they will ask you how has fasting translated to money. When you go for soul winning, they ask you how has soul winning translated to money. All these things you are preaching and praying, that's why you are like this. People are making money and you are preaching. What they don't understand is that the kingdom of God is not a natural kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom. Even though that spiritual kingdom is seeking expression in the natural realm, not just natural realm, every realm of oppression. This is why the scripture spoke, I think in the book of Isaiah, he said that the mountain of the Lord's house will be what? Exalted above every other mountain. What will happen? And then every other nation and hills will flow to it. That means this is how your life should walk if you are correct. You will lift up the kingdom of God, the spiritual dimension of God's expression. You will lift it up high, and every aspect of your life will flow into it. So when you study and get your certificate, the expression of your study and laying hold on your certificate cannot find expression without the kingdom. When you make money, you cannot make money without the kingdom. When you marry, you cannot marry without the kingdom. Are you not seeing it? Now, it is not as if we are saying you cannot be engaged in this, but Jesus is trying to tell them that what he's talking about is fundamentally spiritual. But when he finished all his lecture, this is what he said, when are you giving me car? It's not this in this young man is saying. My own is where is the car? They could talk. When is the job coming? Will this thing put money? Will it change my results? That's what I'm talking about. That's how they behave in this town. So no matter how much you preach, if your preaching has not resulted in financial explosion, they don't believe it. They don't believe it. So imagine the frustration of Jesus after teaching them about the spiritual kingdom that is about to be manifest, and they began to ask him, what of the kingdom of Israel? In their own mind, the kingdom of Israel is bigger than the kingdom of God. In their own mind, Jesus came to be a peaceful king. He doesn't know that the king that Jesus sees is through you. I think that's the fundamental reason for this weekend, that Jesus will through you rule on every affairs of men. People will be waiting for Jesus to appear physically and say, I'm now the president of Nigeria, the governor of Anambra State. No. How it will happen is that a man that is yielded enough, aligned enough, to the purposes of God will be empowered by heaven, and will now stand on behalf of heaven. So that when you stand, the kingdom of God will be expressed through your life. Are you with me? Can we say amen?
Amen.
So let's see. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons that the Father has put in his hand. It is not for you. There are people that are saying, God, I want to marry you. As soon as I leave this room, I want to marry next week. And God is telling you, it's not in your power. Your own is to pray that something will come upon your life. It is possible it is in the process of manifesting and fulfilling destiny that you meet a certain kind of person that suits your destiny. The people you are meeting might not be the people. So Jesus said, it is not in your power. It's in whose power, my sister? It's in God's power. The determination of our times and seasons is in God's power. So somebody came and said, but I prayed for 6 months, nothing happened. It is not in your power. If God is still saying pray, pray, he's still saying fast, fast,
He's still saying, do something, do it. It is not in your power. What is given to us is to obey the commands of God. But I'm looking for verse 8. Verse 8 is where I'm going to. When we look at verse 8 for 10 minutes, then we'll begin to pray. Let's read it together from this one that is projected. 1, 2, ready, go. If you look at this scripture properly, you will notice that this scripture is divided into three compartments. Can you see it? This verse is divided into three compartments. The first compartment is that you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The second compartment is that the purpose of the receiving of the power was declared. What is the purpose of receiving this kind of power, my sister? Yes, so that you will be witnesses. Then, the third compartment is what? The third compartment is areas of specialization. There are some people that is sent to Jerusalem. Are you with me? If you are with me, say amen.
Amen.
Everybody is not sent to Jerusalem. So many times when we read this thing, we are thinking that Jerusalem is Jerusalem of physical Jerusalem. No, your Jerusalem is where you are. Your Jerusalem can be your room. Your Jerusalem can be your class, your business place. Huh? There are some people sent to Jerusalem. There are some people sent to where? Judea. There are some people sent to where? There are some people sent where? They are everywhere. Imagine if you are sent to Jerusalem and you are everywhere. You are in the uppermost part of the earth. It will seem as if your grace is not sufficient to carry you. When you see a man out of alignment, out of context, out of touch with the destiny, with the place that God has placed him, he will lack in the requisite equipment, resources that it takes for him to prosecute the destiny that God has given to him. My God. In the next 5 minutes, the presence of God will begin to increase, and his glory will tabernacle. The angels of his presence of power will begin to come to bear witness, because if it is true that the things we spoke about are true, then witness will come. The scripture said, for the spirit is truth. It was there that we realized that all the witness dimension, all the witness capacity of the kingdom of God has been revealed to a particular personality captured in the Godhead. And that personality is the spirit of God. So the season in the days of Jesus' ministry, in the times that he has ordained to hand over to his disciples have arrived. And then a new dimension of witness needs to be born. And according to the demands of the kingdom of God, there is only one personality that holds all the keys of witness. And that personality is who? The Holy Ghost. So the scripture said, he shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. It doesn't matter the dimension of witness, it is still the spirit that bears witness. Even the scripture said that when a man gets born again, he said our spirit and the spirit of God, what? Bears witness that we are the sons of God. But in this dimension, it is a little. I'm just feeling my wings in the spirit now. I came one day, I said, I'm feeling my wings. They made me look at me and say, what do you mean by wings? This person is not the talk of kind people. The problem is that you have not read your Bible, or you have read it, you didn't read it well. If you read Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, what does it say? They that wait upon the Lord will do what? They will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings. And when they mount up, they will mount up like the eagle does its own. That's how they will mount up. The reason why many people don't make progress in the things of the spirit is that when they are expected to fly, they are walking. But have you heard that scripture? If you go to 2 verses before them, it said that there is a verdict of young men. Show me the verse before this. Let me show them something. If I love, can you show me? Verse 30. Let me see. Verse, up your head, 28. Let's see 29. He giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Let me see 30. Now watch, there is a verdict from the youth. This thing is not open to negotiation. He said, even the youth shall what? I'm not hearing. Even the youth shall what? And be weary. And the young men shall what? Those days I was in secondary school, we used to do road walk, jogging. I went to Dennis Memorial Grammar School. We would start from Zikrand about, go to Mose. And if you are not from Mose, we will now go to Mose. Then we will come back and run past our school and go to there is this hospital around one place, I forgot, it's been a while. We'll go there and then we'll come back. When we come back, it will seem as if they beat us. They use 2x2. You know what is 2x2? You know what is 2x2? Your mom is thinking. 2x2 is, how many of you have used locker? You use that locker in secondary school. That locker you use is one stand, one leg of the locker is called 2x2. The reason why I know this is because they use it a lot during my secondary school. They use it on people's head. In fact, if you have not used it on somebody's head, that means you don't, let's do that part. God has delivered me from those things. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, watch. What I'm trying to say is that as strong as we are as youth, there is a verdict on our life. The scripture says that even the youth shall utterly fall. It's not just for them. It's not just for them. He said, they shall utterly fall. When I read this scripture and saw it, I told myself a few times, I said, I need to be strong. There is already a season waiting for you where you will be paid. I've heard many elders. They are not so much of elders. They are 50 something years. When we are doing something, they will say, when I was your age, I used to behave like, look at the person. You're never too old now. You're never too old. What of Caleb? Caleb said, at age 80, he said, give me this mountain. At age 80. See, we have believed the lie and Satan has held us down. A man cannot go beyond what he believes. Your set of belief is the output of your experiences in life and in God. If Caleb can come and say, at age 80, he said, give me this mountain. That is a man that is willing to walk with God in another dimension. When God came to Peter by the revelation of the Spirit, and a sheet was laid down from heaven, he said, Peter, kill and eat. Peter told him and said, not so long, because all the summary of his experiences before that time is against the new things that God wants to do through his life. So God said, Peter, kill and eat. He said, I've not touched anything that is foul. He said, how can you say that what I made is foul? What can you say is not pure? How can you say it's not clean? The fundamental challenge of Peter is that he has become such a man that has become comfortable. He has become such a man that is not willing to push himself more. Meanwhile, God's hand has come again and is looking for men that is willing to say, I will go an extra mile with you, God. If you will give me the strength, I will push more. If you will anoint me, I will do more for you. If you will give me the grace, if you will give me the resources, many people, we have much wisdom. But we love men who represent that and such. There is the kind of thing that will start happening in your life, even you can't do anything about it. As you cannot do anything about it, is it true that God cannot do anything about it? So whose fault is it? God or you? Let's tell ourselves the truth. If you see, the way this life is, if you are not settled down to ask this basic question, you will not know why we preach and say the things we say. Because people wait until something becomes bad, until it chokes them in the neck. That's when they will begin to do something about it. I want to tell you, if you are not ready before the day will swallow you. Never is a no offer to get your man plan and then do me. How they do? That's how you do it. So when the day appears, you are ready for it. So instead of us trekking, what do we do, my brother? We will mount up. So sometimes when I pray, I will begin to feel my wings in the spirit. Sometimes when I preach, I begin to feel my wings in the spirit. In the spirit, has its advantage. The scripture says, in many places in the book of Ephesians, it says, they don't want me now. Let me run you. The scripture told us in many places in the book of Ephesians that God, that Jesus ascended high, especially in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, so that he may fill all things. His capacity to fill all things, because in this context, filling all things is a language of dominion. His capacity to fill all things is dependent on the height that he ascended in the spirit. Now, it also came in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. The last verse. He said that we are seated with Christ. Where? So there is a place we are seated far above principalities and powers. So your advantage over principalities and powers is not power like this, is height. So in the spirit, as long as you are higher than someone in height, you are already having dominion. So dominion is a place, is a function of spiritual position. So for the fact that a man is seated with Christ, we have positional advantage over Satan and over anything that he does. So we can from that end legislate and enforce the demands of God. If you are with me, say amen.
Amen.
Let's round up with my in verse 8. Media, give me verse 8. God bless you. But he shall receive power. I have told you people yesterday, the word power here means, I've told you what power means, I've told you what it means. That receive means lambani. Let me give you another example. Yesterday, let's assume I said receive this thing. You see, you do not stress yourself. It's passing. Are you seeing it? This kind of receiving is called the command. It's like what happens when you receive Christ. But there is another one that is another receive that is laid more. What I have received. Are you seeing what I'm, can you learn something now? What I'm trying to tell you is that this one now, even though they said receive, there is an application towards the receiving. And what you receive is dependent on how much you are willing to apply yourself. Watch, let me show you that thing. He said, I ye shall receive power and be witnesses unto me. I want to make another point before I go. There is a difference, of course, you know, that there is a difference between witnesses of and witnesses of. How many of you know? Who knows the difference? If you are not far now, you are asking. I want to ask. I don't know you are whether what you are graduating, but I believe anybody who hearing something like this must be special. So you can answer all my questions. Is it not true? Anybody wearing something special? I don't know anywhere you wear something like this, you are special. So I believe you can answer all my questions. So what is the difference between witnesses of and witnesses from? Okay, because of time. Now, the scripture, if you go to this script, the man that wrote this, Luke, you know he said in verse 1, the former two times, if you go to the first three times, which is in the book of Luke chapter 1, from the book of Luke, he spoke there and he said that he thinks that we are witnesses of. Now, witnesses of is somebody that came to this meeting. You know the way you came to this meeting, you can tell, if you leave this meeting, you can tell people about this meeting. You can tell them that the man that preached was wearing blue. Are you with me? That is witnesses of. You can tell the story of what happened. But witnesses come to is not telling the story of what happened. It's receiving the spirit and function of what happened. So if you came to this meeting and what happened in this meeting spiritually is power, you don't need to tell somebody that I was in that meeting. Somebody will see you walking in that power. Walking in that power. They will say, God, were you in that meeting? Like, I went somewhere in the north and I came and I ministered when I finished ministry. And somebody came and told me, he said that he saw somebody somewhere and he was praying. There's a way we used to pray. And he was praying like this. He said, ah, do you know this man? That there is only one way that somebody can be praying like this. That you must have known. Are you seeing me? So that kind of behavior, that kind of manifestation, that kind of function, witnesses unto something. Are you seeing it? That means even though you have to be there physically to be witnesses of, but you don't have to be there physically to be witnesses unto. Physical presence can only count for witnesses of, but if you will be witnesses of, you have to be spiritually present, and then you'll be able to level on the things in the spirit. So when we speak of these matters again, give me a little more, when we speak of it again, there will be carried by the spirit of the world to the plane in the spirit where the same thing that happened in the day of Jesus happened. And it is true that it is born of the spirit of God. Then when we speak about it, the same thing happens. Because we are in that location in the spirit where the same thing happened on the day of Pentecost. And when we arrive there, then something needs to happen to us so that we receive the capacity to be witnesses of a spiritual experience, a spiritual ceremony, a spiritual encounter, a spiritual manifestation. We have to accompany the fact that we have arrived at a place in the spirit. So Jesus said, "He shall receive power." And the reason why you need to receive power is that you will be equipped sufficiently to be witnesses unto me. When a man is not equipped with what it takes to represent Jesus, the dimension of power, remember I told you that the power of God is dynamic. It is dynamic. It is dynamic. What did I say? It is dynamic. That means the power we speak about is not just miraculous power. It's not just the power to heal the sick. It is power to excel in your studies. There are men that are good in the academics, and we know it is power by supernatural means. The scripture said in the book of Deuteronomy, I am the one that giveth him power to make wealth. That means there is power to make wealth. There is power to excel in academics. There is power to heal the sick. There is power to raise the dead. There is power to live the Christian life. The power we speak about is dynamic. So when a man looks upon his life and looks at his blessing and the things that
in your power, but it's not working. The days of trying in your power has passed. It is time to live to the power of the Spirit. It is time to trust the Holy Ghost. It is time to wait and time. The scripture said in the book of Luke chapter 24, verse 49, he said, tarry here in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. A man that steps out, for God steps out in destiny without the requisite equipment and mantling from God, is a man that is going to fail. Without power, you will not be able to represent God well. It takes an energizing in the spirit, it takes a quickening in the spirit, it takes a mantling in the spirit for a man to stand on behalf of God. So that when Satan challenges you, you come out in the name of Jesus and set up, set up because, not because of you, but because of the power that is now at work in you, because of the power that is now at work through you, you stand. And then when Satan looks at you, you will know that you are beyond yourself. You will know that there is something more about you. They can look at you and say, look at this young lady, very small, but they don't know that the great one is high. And sometimes when you come and pray in tongues and come in an environment that is charged like this, the God that is in you that is sitting down, suddenly he will stand up. And when God stands up, there are many things in you to happen. The scripture says,
set up in the temple of your faith.
wherever you are, just take your right hand, put on your head. I want to pray for you. I want to use. Now, this is what we are going to do. Take your right hand, lift it up. Let's pray for 30 seconds. I want to use your own hand because I will not be able to lay hands on everybody. But I want you to pay attention because God will make your own hand an instrument, a point of contact. If you pray, the power of God will come upon your hand. So when you lay it on your head, after that, what would have happened if I'm the one that laid the hands on you? Now happen to you. Are you with me? Can you understand this? Okay, lift up your hands. Let's pray again. The power of God is already on some people. Lift up your hands. Close your eyes, please. This is a serious business. We are doing serious business. touch. Then touch. Eleven. Put your hands stronger, Holy Spirit. Put your hands strong. You will not be weak after today. You are being strengthened on the inside. You are being empowered above what has afflicted you. You are giving more strength than your warfare and adversaries. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. 12. There is a baptism of fire. You will feel the fire on you. You will feel the fire. There is somebody feeling an anointing on the top of your head, on the crown of your head. You are feeling it like a warmth. It will increase now. There is somebody feeling another anointing on your leg, on your right leg, like fire. It's an anointing. It will increase now. There is somebody feeling another anointing. You are feeling it on the spine of your back. It seems as if the anointing is on the spine of your back. You feel it. It will intensify now. Holy Ghost! It will intensify. I prophesy over your life that the Lord will empower you with what it takes for you to face your season and your destiny in the name of Jesus. Let your amen be loud. I will say it three times. The Lord will empower you in the name of Jesus. The Lord empowers you in the name of Jesus. I see somebody that the Lord is giving you an angel to walk with you. An angel. The proof of this angel is that, my God, there are two things now. The Lord is giving somebody, the anointing of God is burning in your heart. You are feeling it like a burning in your hand. It will intensify. The presence that God is giving an angel, you will feel the presence of the angel beside you. It seems as if a side of your body, a side like this, will begin to burn. It will be warm. It is because the angel have come close to you and you have been exposed to the presence, the ambience of that angel. And as I'm speaking, it will increase. The bonus will increase. In the name of Jesus. Increase the Holy Ghost.